Yes, yes, yes. We welcome you, Jesus. We celebrate you, Father. We release all your power and your glory and the fire of God into every heart here right now, Lord, that we would encounter you, the living God, tonight, and that we would never be the same. Ha, ha. Come on. Come on. We say, heaven come. Holy Spirit, do all that you please in our hearts and our lives. It's you we long for. It's you we desire. It's you we want. And we want more. Like Jabez, we're tired of our names, Lord, the name the world has put upon us. We're tired of us what has been assigned to us that is so paltry and lacking. And we're asking for more. And Papa, you are proud of him. You said he was more honorable than the others because he asked you for more. And he said, more. I want more. I want you to bless me and bless me a lot. And that is exactly what you did. So, Papa, we're asking that you would bless us and bless us a lot. We drink you in, Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, we're drinking you in. Oh, yes. Just take a deep breath and drink him in. Yes, Lord, we drink you in. We drink you in, Spirit of God. Oh, yes, you satisfy the deepest longings of our heart. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. This young man, his mom called that the phone call from hell. When she picked up the line, and her son could hardly speak and ask her to come home. He'd stayed home because he was sick. He's underage, so I'm not going to give you his name right at the moment. She drove home, and when she got there, this young man was so tore up inside. He had a plastic skull that he had put on the kitchen table where his mom would see it when she walked in. And he had taken 80 aspirins and he put the empty bottle in the skull's mouth. And then in the process, those aspirin began to dissolve and get into his system, he realized he was seeing things and realized that he'd put himself in a bad situation. It was worse than just a cry for help. It was serious. And he had crawled to the phone and called his mom. She said that was the phone call from hell to get that from her son, who was a freshman in high school. She was 7 miles from home. She drove there, got him into the vehicle, and through her tears, even though she didn't know Jesus, she was praying all the way to the hospital. They pumped his stomach. When he got home, his older sister was in college, her freshman year of college. And while she was in college that year, she'd come to know Jesus. And her heart was breaking, thinking that this little brother of hers almost slipped into eternity without Jesus. So she called home and asked if she could talk to her brother. And on the phone, he couldn't respond. He couldn't say a word as his sister, through her sobs, apologized and told him how she had found Jesus and she knew that's what he needed. He couldn't respond. Things leveled out. He started going to a psychologist that summer. I don't know all the details of how terrible it was for the folks, his parents, to go through that. But they went to a Christian church, and there was a Christian camp at they called it King Solomon Camp up by Solomon, Kansas. And he went there. They convinced him somehow to go there. When he came back, when he went to go see the psychologist, he said, "I know what I need. I need what those people had. I had never seen people, he said, that had talked about knowing Jesus like they knew him personally. They said they knew they were going to heaven. He couldn't believe that. He thought, I know you. You're no better than I am. But he didn't give his heart to Jesus then. He heard the truth, but he didn't respond. I'll come back to him later. I know that was kind of a sobering place to leave you, but the story doesn't end there. We'll come back to it after a while. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we're going to review tonight for just a minute. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, if you read chapter 5 at the very end, he says, by now you ought to be teachers of this, but I need to teach you this all over again. God's goal is for you to become proficient in your foundation, that you'd have a good grasp on it, that you'd be able to explain it to other people and to teach them. One of our friends in group tonight said, Andy said this wasn't going to be, you know, deep. It was foundational. But this seems like it's pretty deep. And she'd been digging. Sometimes foundations are not simple. There's a lot of work. And it can take time, especially if you're going to put up a building that's going to have some substance to it and you intend for that building to last. The foundation is so important. And what I want to put in your hearing tonight about our foundation, these foundations are PowerPoints. They are the throw switch. They are the connecting point of heaven to earth in your life. The power of another world, another dimension is released into your life through each one of these foundations. Throw the switch. Release the power in your life. First one was repentance. Repentance from dead works. It is the death stopper. It is the tide turner. Repentance is the open door. It's the heaven magnet. It is the power releaser. It changes everything. Throw the switch in your life with repentance, and things will forever be different. Jesus, when he came to earth, he said, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Decades ago, we used to sing, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. A little more accurate thing to sing would be, repent and believe. Get your foundation right. If you build in faith without a foundation of repentance, it's going to be a weak foundation. Repentance says, my way's wrong. I'm going to stop trusting in my way, and I'm going to go your way. Repentance says, your ways are higher than mine, and your thoughts are higher than mine, and I'm going to choose your ways and your thoughts. Just as the clouds, or the heavens, are above the earth, high above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but just as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and water the earth, giving its seed to sow and bread to the eater, so is my word. God doesn't leave his thoughts above us. He wants us to have them. He wants his word to come down to us like rain and like snow and water us and feed us and satisfy the longing of our hearts. Give us seed to sow. I am so dry. Where'd the water go? Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Have a drink if you'd like. Now remember, this is just review. You know, it's also a command. Not only did Jesus, his very first sermon was repent and believe. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It is also a command. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. God's command to everyone everywhere is to repent. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in your righteousness. How many times have you heard people, I hope it's good enough. I hope I make it. I was working for an auctioneer in Stockton. Loved the guy. We had a great work relationship. I was in his office to pick up a check one day, and we were sitting across from his desk, and we were just talking. He was talking about how he used to live, and, he doesn't live like that anymore. And he said, I hope it's enough. I hope the good Lord will accept me, and I hope that's enough. And without thinking, you ever say something without thinking? Oh, man, I don't know if I should have said that. I said, it's not. And that was an open door. I had a good enough relationship with him that he didn't write me off because I said that, which is a good thing, because I really hadn't thought that out. And I explained to him, I said, it's what Jesus has done that we trust in. He was good enough for us. We'll never be good enough, but he was good enough for us. And we can trust in him. So God, for us to try to think like Pastor Vicky did such a good job explaining to us, get in the chair. It's not Jesus plus something. It's Jesus and nothing else. And for us to think that it's Jesus plus trying to be good enough is like a slap in Jesus' face. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It's perfectly perfect. Nothing more whatsoever needs to be done to purchase your salvation, to make you right with God. It is done. It's a done deal. It's finished. Completely complete. It's a total deal. So it's Jesus and nothing else. Go ahead, get in the chair and relax. Sometimes if you're brought up different, we get in the chair and we start to wiggle. I should be doing something. This doesn't feel right. I just can't sit here and relax. Give me something to do with my hands at least while I'm sitting here. Got to do something. Just relax. He's already done it all. Jesus paid it all. It's already paid for. He already paid for it all. And not only that, he put it on a public open display of shame against the enemy. You can go ahead and say, yeehaw. It's a good thing. Number three, we better do number two. Faith toward God. It is the power mover. Faith will move you. When faith comes into your life, you will never be the same. It will change you. You can accept facts up here all day long and do nothing about it and not make any difference. But once it moves from here to here, change happens. You move. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe into righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Power is released in your life when you believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Change happens. Movement takes place. If you get frustrated because nothing's happening, you might want to go back to this. Check your foundation. Repentance and faith moves you. Baptisms. Power is released to live a new life through baptisms. It is a turning point, a life marker to remember. From water, it's celebrating that you were dead and buried with Jesus. I love the deal about baptism that we immerse, because that's what the original word means, to completely immerse. One guy said, when one of the pets dies, we don't go out and sprinkle dirt on it. That's bad. Since we dig a hole and we bury it. That's what the picture of water baptism with immersion is. My old life is dead and it's buried with Jesus, and we're raised up to walk a new life. Oh, I love that we have baptisms on a regular basis. Oh, I love that. I love Sunday Where'd you go? Marilyn, where? Oh, right here. I told you ahead of time. I want to tell you now in front of everybody. Thank you so much for obeying Jesus when he spoke to you and said, go ahead and do the water, the immersion thing. And then when all the kids came up, it was hard not to cry. I had such a sense of the presence of God drawing near, of heaven kissing earth through your obedience in those children. Such a picture of heaven. Power is released in your obedience. And the foundation is set. You know what? When you're baptized in water, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and the power of God is released in your life, you talk about another release of power. There it is. Jesus said, "When stay in Jerusalem until you receive power." When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power. The power of God is released in your life through the Holy Spirit. You want that. You want the power that comes when you're baptized in water. You want all that God has. The power of another world is released in us. John answered them all, and John, I'm reading from Luke 3:16. I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it's in Acts 1:8 that Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Fire and power with the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's why we call it a fire tunnel, because it has a lot to do with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Number four, laying on of hands, power is transferred. The power of God is transferred. It's like an airdrop from heaven that passes through other believers when you lay hands. There is a transference of power and also gifts. There was one thing that we started, Sharon and I started doing right after we had moved. We began to realize we've been in ministry for 40 years. And there's a lot of things that we have that we've received from God that have just been gifts. There's other things that land that we have taken that we fought for, that we had to get a hold of God's promises and declare them. But you know what? When you fight for something, it's yours. And when it's yours, you can give it away. You can release that into other people's lives and everything that's given to you. We had a mindset for decades that such type of a blessing was a one-time deal to pass on to somebody else. And the church has been under that for years. We are in a new day. This is a different time. And every gift that you have, God has more than enough. You can give it away to everybody. Release it. Pray it on other people. We started praying, hey, we want to pray a 40-year blessing on you. Everything God's given us over four decades, well, it's getting closer to 45 now. Everything that God has given us, we want to release into your life, everything that's impartable. And we just leave that in God and release it. You know that not only do Sharon and I, but there's a lot of people of you here carry a direct line of anointing from Catherine Kuhlman. How many of you have that? Those that have their hands up know what I'm talking about. A guy who received that blessing on down came out from Bethel, and he prayed for a bunch of us and imparted that into our lives. We carry that type of anointing for miracles and healing, and it's just increasing in these days. So, Papa, we just release that on everybody tonight. Let there be miracles in everybody's life, miracles and healings, but not only for us individually, but for it to flow through us like the river of God from heaven that it is. Come on, come on, come on. So, these are all gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's so important to be tender to Him. Ministry happens through intimate relationship with God, so go after it. Go after intimate relationship with Him. How do you build an intimate relationship with God? One of the ways is to talk to Him. Talk to Him like, you know, when you're at home alone, talk to Him like He's really there, because He is. when you're in the car driving somewhere, invite him to come ride with you and talk to him like he's really there, because he is. I see Sherry over here. I have loved learning a little bit about her relationship with Jesus. I mean, it's a real deal. I mean, he's always talking to her. She's always talking to him. And there are a lot of you who are like that, and I love, love, love that. I love being around you. So you're saying kick it into gear, Steve. I asked for him to keep me updated because sometimes you lose track of time and where you are. So thank you. Resurrection of the dead. Well, there's definitely power there. Chief among all of those is Jesus. All power flows from him and from his resurrection. A couple scriptures, the one we already covered in Acts 17. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. It starts off, we don't want you to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We don't grieve. A lot of us grieve, but we don't grieve like the rest of folks who have no hope, because Jesus is risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And we have a living relationship with him. We're going to be with him forever. Eternal judgment, or you might say rewards. That's another way to look at eternal judgment, is rewards. For an unbeliever, the rewards are not so good. You don't want to go there. Literally, you do not want to go there. And the good news is nobody has to. Well, why does God send people to hell? He doesn't. He did everything possible to give people an escape and a reason not to go there. Anybody who does go to hell has resisted God and rejected him and said no to his free offer. Well, what about the people who don't know, have never heard about Jesus? God says they're judged according to the knowledge that they have. Romans talks about people who don't know and still do what's right. And they're a law unto themselves. And they're judged according to the light that they have. So we just leave that in God's hands. He is not only fair and just, he's also way good. And he's way better than you give him credit for. He's better than you think. He's better than we could possibly understand or imagine. So we'll just leave those things in God's hands. And we'll go with the promise of God that is revealed. If you have a child, you don't know where they were when they died, you have the word of God. And God's word said that the promise is to you and your whole household. Well, I didn't see it happen. Well, then don't look at the circumstance. Look at God's word. Say, well, it's too late. You don't know the circumstance. Jesus knows his word. He knows your prayer. He knows his promise. And if you had a child or a loved one who died and you didn't know where they stood with the Lord, or God knows, and he knows how to go to that person in their last moment and snatch them out of the fire grip of hell itself. Don't you know how Jesus would love to frustrate the plans of the devil? Stay in hope, stay in faith, and hang on to the word of God. We know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord, as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. Colossians 3:24, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, read that when you can. Hebrews 11:6 said, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God's a rewarder. He says, if you go after me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. How many of you know God blesses you better than you can imagine? Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew who I was and you knew the goodness of God, you'd be asking me and I would give. God is so good. He's better than you can imagine. And if you would ask him, he'd give you more than you can imagine, and he would give you better. More better. Okay. Now, in the next 5 minutes, we're going to talk about the subject for tonight. The transplant that changes your life. James chapter 1, verse 21 from the Passion reads like this. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Let's stop. Moral wickedness, impurity, Sin is a partnering with the devil. It's a partnering with hell. We do not want to partner with the devil, with darkness, or with hell. We don't want to have anything more to do with that. We want to partner with God and with his kingdom. And so he says, abandon that. If you abandon something, that word has the inference that you lay something down in a manner that it's going to be hard to find and pick up again. Lay it down. Let it go. Abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus said, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent or abandon and believe, absorb the good news. How do I abandon the wrong stuff? I ask him to forgive me. That's good. He always does. But how do I abandon it? How do I lay it down so that it's not easy to pick back up? Well, it's a good idea to renounce things. To tell, renounce means to tell back. I remember one time in the locker room, the guys were all talking, and I remember their conversation being, man, when I die, I want to go to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be. That's a man's thinking. Jesus tells us that in hell, people will beg for somebody to go tell their friends so that they won't end up in the same place. The one man, the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man begged that he would send Lazarus to go tell his brothers so that they wouldn't come to the same place. Nobody wants anybody they know there. It is so horrible. Renounce it. Tell it back. If you said terrible things, tell it back. Say the opposite. That's why Jesus, after his resurrection, had Peter and the boys come by the fire. And in front of this small group, Peter had publicly denied Jesus three times. So he had Peter tell it back in a small, intimate setting where it was comfortable for him to do so. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. And then he reaffirmed his calling every single time. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I do. Feed my lambs. He reaffirmed his call on his life. He restored him in a gentle, private situation in front of just a few. He helped him renounce it and tell back all the wrong, stupid things he had said. So renounce is a good idea. And refocus, fix your thoughts on him and his word. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Look at that phrase about the word of God, the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is the Bible that I got in 1978. Refocus. Fix your mind on God's word. This is his word of grace. I love what Billy Graham's wife Ruth said. Every time I open the Bible, I do so to encounter God. This, Jesus said, to the Sadducees and Pharisees, you search the scripture and in them you think you have life, but these are they that testify of me. It's not this book that gives you life. It is the connecting point that gives you life, that connects you to Jesus, the life giver himself. And as such, we love the word of God for that very reason. And that's what you need to fix your thoughts on. Wash your minds out. Refocus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, through knowing Him, who has called us by His own glory and goodness, and through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires. The precious promises, they connect you to the very nature of God, and it will change you. You get the Word of God transplanted in your heart by spending time with it and letting a love grow for it. It's going to change your life. You change the way you think, you'll change your life if the way you think lines up with the Word of God. Get it in there. It's life-giving. It's powerful. John chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, the words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. Jesus said, the words I've spoken over you, they're powerful. They've already cleansed you. So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. Promises, promises. The Hebrew word for remember, we need to remember those promises. But the Hebrew word for remember is zakar, which if we have any Hebrew speakers, I'm sure it's pronounced differently. But it's so interesting. It means to mark so as to remember, so as to mention. Oh, apply that to this thing right here, the written word of God. Mark it up so that you remember it, so that you will mention it. If I were to flip through this old Bible, this is a mild page. It is marked up. It's falling apart. Mark it up for the purpose of remembering. When you're reading through the Bible and something jumps out at you, have you noticed that if you don't mark it somehow, that it can disappear and it's no longer in there, seems like? You can't find it. Mark it so that you'll remember it, so that you'll mention it, so that it can become a part of your talk, how you pray. Mark it to remember it, so you'll mention it. We were talking about when people give you words. Do that with those prophetic words that are spoken over you. Mark them, write them down so that you can remember it, so that it can become a part of what you say and what you pray. Where are we time-wise? No matter how many promises God has made, they're all yes in Christ. And so we say, amen, bring it on. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:20. All those promises in His word, they're ours. They're yours. Keep a firm grip on them, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. Get it in your heart. Keep writing it out. Keep saying it. Keep feeding your heart and mind till it comes out your mouth. Get your heart full of it. Learn to say what He says about you. Learn to echo what's on His heart about you. It will release the power of God in your life. And then as that happens, you'll realize you can release the power of God in other people's lives as well. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. It makes a difference what's inside of us.
Back to the story to close out.
A lot of times we're filled with our own thoughts, our own thinking, our own ways. And there comes a time when we have to go through difficult circumstance. What's going to happen if this passes through the flame? That was rather anticlimactic. Some lives are a lot like that, kind of. Whoa. Let's try another one. I blew those up hours ago, so that's why they're doing that. You go through, everything goes out of you, and there's nothing left except maybe a black mark. If I were to pick that balloon up, there's probably a little bit of a singe. And we go to pieces and fall apart. I told you a story about that young man. 2 years later, when he was a junior in high school, he began slipping back into the darkness. His mom could see that he was spiraling down, getting depressed. But this time, every day when she drove the 7 miles to work, she began to pray for him, and she prayed different. She would pray, when my son goes to school, when he drives to school later, I'm praying that you'll come sit in the car beside him, put your arms around him, and let him know how much you love him. She prayed that day after day after day after week and into the months, and something happened. Years after that took place, Sharon and I went to visit my mom out on the farm. We were doing laundry, and we began talking about some things that had happened back when Sharon and I were both in high school. And my mom told me the story of how she prayed for me when she went to school every morning. I said, "Oh, Mom, I have never told you what happened that led up to me coming to Jesus that year. I was so discouraged." And every morning it started happening. It felt like God himself would come sit in the car with me. I would get goosebumps day after day. It got to the point where I would always go early to school. As soon as they opened the door, I'd go in to visit with kids. But it got to the point that I would drive around town until the last minute, because I knew when I got out of the car and went into school, I wouldn't feel that same thing that I was feeling in the car. And after weeks of that happening, I began to try to talk to God. And it was because of that that my heart warmed up in that spring when I heard the gospel. Well, actually several times that year, because I didn't have good teaching. I got saved lots of times that year. Every time somebody gave a call for the gospel, I ran. Because she prayed and it softened the ground, I got something different in my heart now. We got a drink of the living water. This is just a balloon filled with water. Oh, yes, please. There's a little thing right there. Took time. I remember while I was still at home, and we drove to several states, had several hours alone in the car, and I was stuck in a chapter of John and reading over and over again about Jesus and his love for me and his word. It just got down inside of me and changed my life. We didn't know all the hard times we were going to go through later. Yeah, my arm's shaking because I'm not used to holding that. The only thing different is that there is water inside the balloon. You can hold it here a lot longer. It will never break. You know why? Because what's inside makes a difference. The water absorbs the heat and keeps the balloon intact. We lost our daughter when she was 25 in 2003. Sharon had cancer later that year. My best friend who walked us through that time, he died shortly after that, got cancer, and died within a few months. But we are intact because there was a mom who prayed. Keep praying for your kids and for your family. Hang on to the word of God that says the promises for you and your whole household, all of them. all of them will be saved. You stand on that rather than the circumstance. And get something that is inside of you. Get this life-changing word of God inside of you. Lay down anything else because it's nothing compared to the treasure that you have in His word.